Thanks, Johnny. My name's Josh, as Liam said earlier, and I have the great privilege of bringing God's word to us this evening. We're living in a world at the moment where people can't get enough of what is natural. People go on escapes to the mountains and the wilderness and live the natural life. People want nothing but the natural look, which ironically usually just involves putting things that are not natural at all into and onto your body. I'll leave that. But perhaps most disappointingly, people want to go on all natural diets. I mean, where's the fun in that? Cutting out artificial flavors, colors, all the fun things. I mean, I can very much appreciate the health benefits that come from this, but as a young male with a very, at the moment, fine metabolism, it's just wrong. It's just wrong to go all natural. And just like it's wrong to go all natural when it comes to food, we're going to see from Galatians today that the natural life is wrong. We're going to see that as Christians, we should be living the unnatural life. I'm going to explain more about that and what that looks like in a sec, but for now, let's pray. Now, Father, through your Spirit, give us ears to hear what you are saying to us today and hearts that are open to change. Please empower us to live the unnatural life for you. Amen. So as you might have seen at youth camp this last weekend, we looked at what the resilient life is, about persevering in life until the end. And so when thinking about life and things like that, I worked out when looking at Galatians today that there are two ways in which we can live. There is the natural way and the unnatural way. Now there is a natural way that is in this world, which is corrupted by sin. And that is for us to sin. To live first and foremost for ourselves rather than for God. And then there's an unnatural life, that is, in this corrupt and broken world, to live first and foremost for God rather than yourself, to deny our natural selfish nature and live for God because of who He is and what He's done for you. So the natural and the unnatural life are so different, they're actually in a fight with one another. The other week, we thought we saw the fight of the century with Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. But we're going to see from Galatians that the life of the flesh and the life of the spirit are in the true fight of the century. Let's have a look at what Paul says from Galatians chapter 5, from verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And down to verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So here it is, the fight of the century. The flesh versus the Spirit. In the red corner, we have the flesh. That's a guy I got off Google Images when I typed in flesh. It's quite strange. So I'm sorry if you need some trauma counseling after that. So the flesh isn't just a lump of skin or a guy just wearing a really strange little morph suit thing. Flesh is actually the way that our corrupt world lives. We'll see what acts of the flesh look like a bit later, but this is our sinful nature, our corrupt nature, our desire to live for ourselves instead of God. Now in this fight, the flesh's big claim to fame is that it has the entire world enslaved and that there's nothing that they can do about it. The flesh is pretty powerful, it seems pretty great, and in this world corrupted by sin, the natural state of all people is to live for the flesh. Every single one of us, the natural way is to live for the flesh. But in the blue corner, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit weighing in at a whopping 0 kilograms. We see God's Spirit, whose aim is to turn people away from their sinful nature. Now, the Spirit's most valuable characteristic in this fight is probably, definitely, being the eternal God who is in control of all things and is all-powerful. I can't wait to see this fight. It's going to be great. Now, in this world, no one in their right mind is going to choose anything other than themselves. Now, they might choose other things, but the only thing that they are living for is themselves in the end. No one in their right mind is going to choose God without Him working in their hearts. Who would win? Now, this is just an illustration to show you that the natural life and the unnatural life are not the same. They are fighting one another. The flesh is natural in this corrupt world, and the Spirit is unnatural. However, God wasn't going to just sit there and to let the flesh, let the sinful nature destroy the people and the world that He worked to create. Because God worked throughout the entire story of the Bible to work to free His people from the flesh. God has worked to free His people from their sinful nature. We've seen this throughout Galatians, and it has been incredible. In Jesus, God became a man, possibly the most unnatural thing ever. And through this event, through the life of Jesus, which featured Him dying on the cross for the punishment of the sin of those who trusted in Him and rising from the dead in victory, God worked to free His people from the natural life, from the life of the flesh. And for those who trust in Him, He gives us His Spirit at work in us, killing the flesh. We'll hear more about that later in the passage. But the point for now is that Jesus has freed us. And Paul says it's pretty stupid to be freed from slavery and then to go straight back into it. Now imagine being in jail. Imagine sentenced to like 40 years or something, locked in a cell, having to eat the same stuff every day, having to do labor. I don't really know what being in jail looks like. My only picture is like all those American movies where they wear orange jumpsuits and they're on the side of the roads just digging holes for no reason. I don't get it. But the point is, that would suck. Jail would suck. It would be hard. But imagine after 40 years of that, or whatever that is, being released and then wanting to go right back in. Imagine being freed and having the entire world in front of you, one where you are free to live the way that you were created, but then choosing to go back to a life of slavery. It doesn't make sense. That's what Paul is saying to this Galatian church. Through the work of Jesus, those who trust in Him have been freed from the natural life of pleasing themselves. So don't go back. Don't please the flesh. So what does this life for the flesh, what does this natural life look like? Let's see what Paul says. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through to 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. These acts are all reflective of the desires of the flesh. They are all actions that reflect the heart. Now, if you know me, you'll know that I appreciate Star Wars. So get ready for another Star Wars sermon illustration. I don't even care. In Star Wars Episode 2, we see Anakin Skywalker just be an all-round jerk. He hates sand, he gets angry, and he slaughters a whole bunch of men, women, and children. And he's meant to be one of the good guys. I mean, if you know the Star Wars story, you know that he's meant to be like the chosen one, this messiah-like figure who eventually goes on to become Darth Vader, aka one of the worst dudes in the galaxy. What a jerk, right? But in Episode 2, you see all of these actions that he does are actually reflective of his heart. So even though he's sort of good on the outside, we know his heart by the end of the film. We know that he wants to live for himself, that he's living for himself. And I don't think it's just about Star Wars characters that is true. If you think about your own actions, I wonder how much you'll see yourself in that. I wonder how much you'll see your sinful actions come out from your corrupt heart, from your natural heart. Our jealousy and our fits of rage flow out of the pride in our own heart, wanting to be above God and above all others. When we stumble in sexual immorality and drunkenness, it comes from a place of ultimately not trusting that God's way is the best way to live our lives. And even if we are pretty self-controlled, I think all of us know that sometimes our thoughts can be vile and disgusting. Now, the thing about these actions, the thing about the desires of the flesh, the thing about the natural life is this. It can only end up in one place. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. People who live for themselves instead of the God of the universe will not be able to inherit his kingdom, as verse 21 so clearly says. Those who live or have lived like us, which is all of us, will not inherit the kingdom of God. The imperfection and the selfishness of the flesh of us means that we will not be able to be in a relationship with God, the source of all that is good. Like I said earlier, the flesh and the spirit conflict with each other. They are at war with each other. Therefore, God cannot put up with the acts of the flesh that we commit, and can definitely not dwell with our sinful, selfish hearts. But I mean, that's not the whole story, is it? Jesus came so that people would be able to accept the kingdom of God. The first words of his public ministry are that the kingdom of God is here, therefore repent and believe the good news. The good news of God's grace. The good news of God's grace, which is more powerful than our sinful desires. The news that Jesus is the King who died for us and rose from the dead is enough to challenge our sinful desires, and more than enough. It is the only thing that is able to pay for the price of its consequences. What Jesus has done means that we are changed. Through his death and through his resurrection, we have been made clean, which means that those of us who trust in Jesus will inherit the kingdom of God. We will inherit the kingdom of God. So when it comes to thinking through sin and the acts of the flesh that are in your life, how are you going to preach to yourself the gospel of Jesus, the good news of his grace? How are you going to be motivated to flee from sin, to flee from the acts of the flesh because of what Jesus has done for you and who he is? Now you might be thinking, it just seems too hard. It seems too difficult to do. It seems too difficult to not live the natural life. I think that's fair. But if the natural life is a life pleasing to the flesh, what hope do we have? How can we be living an unnatural life? I think Paul has an answer for us in verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Paul is clear here that a life led by the Spirit is a life that is not pleasing to the flesh. Paul is commanding the Galatians to live not for the flesh but for God. Paul wants the Galatians to live the unnatural life. Now you may be thinking, gee Josh, that sounds great, but what does this life look like? Well, Paul shows us in verse 22 to 26. Have a look. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. These things are all completely unnatural, right? I don't know about you, but when someone is intentionally trying to hurt or annoy me, my first response isn't to love them. My natural response is not to be kind, is not to be patient with them. The fruit of the Spirit is unnatural in this life. Now, in terms of what the fruit of the Spirit look like, I don't want these to seem all over the place, but I want to helpfully talk about what each of these things could look like in our lives and in our church community. And I also want to clarify, just in case the message hasn't sunk in, that these things are all a response to the Spirit in us already. These are a response to having trusted that Jesus is our Lord, knowing that we have been freed from the punishment of our sin through his death and resurrection. So let's have a look at the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Other person-centeredness. A church, this could look like a community that goes out of its way to care for those who may need caring for whatever reason. Individually, it could look like doing things for people, inviting them into your home, sharing a meal with them, and truly asking people how they need prayer. Joy. Rejoicing in God. Not just living with a forced smile, but truly cherishing that the Lord of the universe has forgiven your sin and adopted you into his family. Knowing that he is in control and that even when things seem rubbish, that there is a bigger picture and that God is the best thing ever. Peace. Being at ease with God in control. Having peaceful relationships with one another. Working to forgive one another when they have wronged you. Not worrying. Acknowledging anxiety like we saw at the seminar a few weeks ago, but not worrying because God is in control. Forbearance or patience. Putting up with the people at work that are hard to get along with. Not biting or lashing out when people intentionally rev you up. Staying calm when someone attacks you. When your kids or the kids that you lead at kids' church or youth group are absolutely off the rails, keeping your cool, not yelling or screaming, but consistently and patiently showing them grace. Kindness. Truly going out of your way to help practically for the needs of other people. Now maybe that could mean offering to cook for someone who's in a rough patch, spending time with them, spending time with people, praying for them, caring for individuals both here at church and elsewhere in the community so that people see you are living by the Spirit, so that you are doing things for other people before yourself. Goodness, integrity, living the exact same in private as you do around Christians here at church. Living the exact same with mates from work or school as you would with family, as you would for close friends, as you would when you walk past anyone on the street, as you would with dear Christian brothers and sisters. Faithfulness. Remaining completely faithful to God, first and foremost, but also to others. Making sure that we keep our word. In a community where yes or no doesn't seem to hold the same power it once did, where people don't RSVP to events because something better might turn up, being faithful with our word, keeping our commitments, whether that be a yes, I'll come to dinner, right down to marriage vows, and working through confrontation when relationships go wrong, even though that's hard, even though that is disgusting. Now, obviously, this is not a black and white scenario, but faithfulness looks like doing our best to honor our commitments because of the God who honored his commitment to us. Gentleness, humility, putting the benefits of others before yourself. As verse 14 says, the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Not thinking of yourself as the best when it comes to decisions at work or sport or church or in your family. Not looking down on people who may not have the same gifts as you, but working with them for the glory of God. Not bragging about achievements or bringing attention to yourself for good or bad reasons, as hard as that is to do. Self-control. Not giving in to the flesh. Not giving in to the temptation to lash out in anger or to indulge in pornography. Taking measures not to give in. And this is more than just removing the physical temptation to do these things, but this is a change in your mind and, most importantly, in your heart. Now, interestingly, self-control is allowing God to be in control rather than yourself. Now, these are just some of the things that the natural life, the unnatural life looks like, the spirit-led life. But please talk about in the hall afterwards other ways that we can be growing, that we can be showing these fruit of the Spirit. Now, it's important to note that when we consider the fruit of the Spirit, that there is only one fruit of the Spirit. There's many, many, many acts of the flesh. There's many, many natural ways to live. But there is only one fruit of the Spirit that has these nine characteristics. All of these things happen when we are living with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is like a beautiful flower in a garden full of thorns. Now, in our backyard at home, we have a tomato plant that shouldn't be there at all. I don't know what happened. We didn't plant tomatoes there. We planted, I don't know, who knows what. But the point is, what we planted there didn't grow. Nothing growed. And then all of a sudden, these tomatoes came out of nowhere. They're fresh, they're beautiful, and they are delicious. But the natural thing in our garden was broken, right? But out of it came something beautiful. That's just like us. Our natural state is broken and not doing anything good. But the fruit of the Spirit is an unnatural thing that God grows in us. And that's the important thing when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. That fruit grows. Fruit grows. Fruit grows gradually. And so we can't be expected to be perfect Christians all of a sudden, which is not achievable at all. I just add, that's not how it works. Rather, we are works in progress, but the fruit grows, and it grows. And all of these characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit may be growing at different rates, but they grow. They are a change not just in our actions, but they are a change in our heart, in our attitude. I think an important question for everyone here to answer is this: am I seeing the fruit of the Spirit in my life? Am I seeing myself grow in my love, in my joy, in my kindness? Because if not, you might need to consider where you are at with Jesus. We may need to think about what Jesus has done for us through his death on the cross, through his resurrection. If you trust Jesus, the growth of the fruit of the Spirit will happen. It will happen. It may not happen as quickly as you like. It may not happen as quickly as it may appear to be in others around you. But keep living by the Spirit. Keep keeping in step with the Spirit. Focus on Jesus. Because those who belong to Him have crucified the flesh. The flesh is dead. The natural life is dead in Christ. In this big fight that we talked about earlier, in the Spirit versus the flesh, we already know the result. Because Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus has risen from the dead. So we know that the flesh doesn't win. We know that the Spirit has won. The flesh has been crucified. It has been nailed to the cross. Our sinful desires are powerful, but they are no more powerful by any means than that of the Holy Spirit. What are you going to live like? Are you going to live a life that is pleasing to the flesh? Are you going to live a life that has crucified the flesh and live for the Spirit? Are you going to live the unnatural life? I'm going to finish with the words of an old Anglican minister, John Stott, who said this about this passage. This might even be the kind of thing that you can recite to yourself each morning as you wake up. He says this, he says, "I belong to Christ. The Spirit dwells within me. So I shall set my mind on the things of the Spirit and walk by the Spirit according to His rule and line from day to day." Let's pray. Father, we thank You that we belong to Christ. The Spirit dwells within us who trust in Jesus. Help us set our mind on the things of the Spirit and walk by Him according to His rule and line from day to day. Our Father, please help us through Your Spirit to live the unnatural life for You. Amen.
Let's stand and sing.
Died my soul to save my life. G'day, everyone. I'm going to pray now. What an awesome